Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Leader in Motion Radio. I'm your host, Christine LePerrière. My topic this week is around identifying the daily guidelines that you use on a daily basis to guide work and life. Do you ever find yourself in a tough situation and struggling to figure out how to do the right thing? In a really complex world, what is the right thing? Do you act out of the same belief system everywhere you go? Are you authentic in both your work and personal life? I know these things can be challenges for all of us at times. And I think a leader in motion knows that belief drives action and not the other way around. I recently heard a great Margaret Thatcher quote from the movie The Iron Lady. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. What we think, we become. My hypothesis is the best of the best do watch those thoughts and know that those thoughts ultimately create their destiny. I think this quote really explains why I brought Bill Foster on today to speak with us. Bill is Vice President of Sales in the Enterprise Solutions Division of Profiles International. For those of you who don't know what Profiles International does, it's a world leader in employee information. This information gets utilized for employee selection, hiring, development, performance, and succession planning. Bill joined Profiles because he has a big enthusiasm for helping organizations solve these kind of challenges that arise, right, around employee-related retention, performance, leadership, and employee engagement. Prior to his private sector position, Bill served as an officer in the United States Navy. I know from working with Bill for over 4 years, there must be some interesting guidelines that drive him on a day-to-day basis, because he exudes some of the most fantastic energy I've worked with. You know he really is genuinely happy and truly of service to others, which always makes me wonder what guidelines he uses that the rest of us aren't. Bill, with that said, welcome. Are you here?
Yes, I am. Hello, Christine. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for joining me. So, Bill, I'm just going to get started. When I asked you what drives you to show up in such an authentic manner, it seems that you were very clear on these 7 daily guidelines that help you steer the ship every day. So with that, I'm going to ask you some questions about how you could share those with the group and tell us a little bit more about how these come into play. But before I get started, I want to ask you, how did you develop these beliefs in the first place?
Well, thank you, Christine. Over a period of time, and I can say when I look into the eyes of my great-grandchild and my grandchildren and my children, that's where you see life, and life as it truly is today. And as I've worked with people across the globe, we're a global organization, I find that one of the greatest things that goes wrong, if you will, is something I call the conflict of roles and goals. People who may have very straightforward goals written down very clearly, but the role they're playing is something different from what their goal, where their goal, and that creates conflict in a person. So,
yeah,
having the opportunity of working with so many people over such a long period of time, these guidelines that I shared with you, they really are my day-to-day guidance.
And when you say roles, you mean roles as in roles in the workplace or also roles in family and home life?
I think that the incongruency is actually in both locations, unfortunately. We see a divorce rate today that's in some places exceeding 50%. And Once again, I think that there is a miss out there relative to the roles that a person's supposed to be playing. I'm coming up on 50 years of marriage in a year from now.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I can tell you, it's not something that just happens. You have to work at it, and you have to accept the role that you're in, and you have to set goals that are compatible with both parties. Does that kind of help clear that up a little bit?
It definitely makes sense. And so in order to execute on those, these are your seven guidelines that have really helped you stay true to success in those roles.
Yes. In my personal life as well as in my work life, yes.
That's the part where the congruence really comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's probably some of the most challenging parts to balance. So the first one you have here, I think this one's an interesting one. Thoughts, words, and actions are seeds that are planted. Can you share a bit about this particular guideline?
Absolutely, and I appreciate so much that quote from Margaret Thatcher. It's so on point. If we are concentrating on our goal, where are we going? We tend to fall in line and become very congruent in the way that we think, and the words that we use, and the actions that we take. And I do believe that all of those are seeds that are planted, and what we do in life comes back to us regardless if it's, I'm going to use the word, good seeds or bad seeds. They're going to come back to us.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Once a person is able to take in, let's say, a goal that they can see, they're locked into, if it's buying a home, getting a new car, preparing for retirement, or getting that next promotion, they're able to fix their thoughts on that goal or those goals that they have. And then the other things line up with it. And it all has to be a matchup all the way up and down.
Excellent. And the second one that you have listed here is what's planted determines my return in life.
And I kind of ran over item one into two when I said that, but that is such an important thing to keep in mind. Some people think that by, I don't want to go off in the left field here, but if we do things that are not helpful to other people, that's the sort of thing that comes back to us. And I guess that philosophy is one that some can take in, maybe others not so much, but being at my age, I can guarantee you that's the way it works.
I think that's such an interesting philosophy, that what seeds are planted really return, because we see that in the business world all the time where people are not conscious, right, of the potential repercussions of kind of, planting bad seeds. Do you have any thoughts on that as well?
In planting bad seeds, I do. And I've seen situations where an individual may try to get ahead in life by forcing someone else to not get ahead. It's the old game in business sometimes of trying to slight a person for some reason so they don't get a promotion. In most cases, what I find is that individual will pay for it in some way. If you give money, for example, to an organization that's helping other people, I think that too comes back to you in many different ways.
Do you notice that it takes people a long time to really learn that lesson in the business world.
You know, the thing is, we live in a topsy-turvy world now, and everything seems to be upside down in a lot of different ways. But the amazing thing is, I think I'm seeing more and more people who are really becoming more in tune with the harmony of life in this planting and what they get back in life. I have a chance to talk with, like I said, with people constantly, and that's the sort of conversations that we have about what they're doing, not only for themselves, but what they're doing for other people in good ways to help them out.
Well, and with your work, you're working with management teams who are actually looking at their people issues and trying mm-hmm. to resolve those people issues. So you're serving them in that kind of capacity. Why do you think they're starting to make that shift to really want to, let's say, serve people more authentically?
The shift is being made because we are fighting, in some cases, for our positions, to keep jobs. And there are many people that are fighting just to get jobs now. And in many respects, I think people are starting to appreciate the work that they've got. And it appears to me, anyway, that they're doing more and more to become better at what they're doing. And I think that's always a very positive thing when we see people getting ahead because of hard work and their efforts. I had talked to my daughter yesterday, and I asked her, I said, tell me something in your life that was most important to you as a child in preparing you for adulthood. And she had indicated that we had required her and my son both to have certain tasks, certain jobs that they had to do every day, and it was their responsibility, and there were consequences if they did not perform their chores. And today, that's gone on to my grandchildren, and we see where they are have great jobs, and they're becoming better and better as time goes on, and I'm thankful for that, so thankful for it. But all of that is part of the planting determines what your return in life is.
Definitely. And I think what you've said there around the shift that you're starting to see, people appreciating the work that they have, right? Even if that starts at a very, very young age, taught to you by your parents, appreciating what you have helps really inspire planting some good seeds.
I believe so. I do believe that, yes.
The third one you have is, my goal is to be positive and happy in all circumstances. Is that possible?
I think that it's stated as my goal, and there are certain situations you get into that certainly warrant perhaps a very close look at your attitude. But you have a choice. I have a choice in every situation I go into that I can be have a good attitude about it and know that I'm going to come out of it, or I could have a bad attitude. But you understand that, once again, having a bad attitude about something, those are seeds that are being planted, and that's what's going to come back to you. And I find most of the time, by taking the course of being positive and happy, if at all possible, in all circumstances, helps in me anyway to come through the things in life that are not so nice sometimes.
Right.
And it just does. It's the grease that oils the wheels that make things work.
Can you think of a difficult time where you really had to make that choice to be positive and happy in that circumstance?
There are many, many out there. You know, part of my career has been working with people and helping organizations shift individuals from one position to another because they just were not a good fit for the job that they were in. And that can be very difficult, not only for the individual that's having to move from one position to another, but also for the bearer of news, so to speak. But by choosing to have a good attitude, by choosing to be happy, I don't want to be silly about it, I'm not going to go in laughing about something, but be positive about what's going on, it does help in situations like that. It's necessary, I think, from a leadership standpoint, it's absolutely necessary to have a positive attitude and understand what's going on right now. It won't last. We're going to come through this, and at the other side, hopefully, we'll be stronger than we are today. That follows coaching that we do with leaders and helping them make some of those tough choices that have to be made.
Well, and obviously, if you're working with them during that difficult situation and you're displaying that positive and happy, you know, to the best of your ability, that attitude, I think it's contagious, especially during a very stressful time.
And it's contagious both ways. A bad attitude, being negative, for example, is maybe even more contagious than being positive and having a good attitude. It's my choice. I can choose either way, but the best choice for me, if at all possible, is to have a positive attitude and try to be happy in all circumstances.
Well, to your point about it being contagious, I think that's such a great point because I'm always trying to go on the hunt for what is it that makes certain individuals really stand out in a workplace as these very positive, kind of higher level consciousness, very authentic beings. I'm always trying to figure out what is it that they do that's so unique. And I think, you know, this topic that you've identified here in number three, to be positive and happy in all circumstances and knowing that it's your choice, that in itself is what some of the most amazing leaders do, and they do it despite the negative attitude around them. So they do it when the collective is not so positive. They still see it as a choice. So I think that's a really powerful point that you're making.
Yeah. It's always a choice. One of the statistics that that's out there today is there's about 70% of the workforce that will change to a new position if they have an opportunity. 70%.
That's a large amount.
It's very large. And one of the things that happens as a result of people who are not a good fit for their jobs. For one reason or another, they just don't like something about the job that they've got. It causes what we classify as disengagement. And when we find disengagement existing in an organization, it can have horrible effects for the organization, not only inside the organization, but outside also. And so leaders, we counsel, it exists. What are we going to do about it now? And one of the first things is we need to have a good attitude check going in the door. And help us start this out through identifying the positions the person would be best fit for. We have people that want to leave the company to go to another job, but they have a lot of experience with the organization. They understand the culture of the organization. So why not let's find another position, if possible, inside the organization that fits them better? And then we can make that shift to a very positive attitude of the individuals. But that's the goal, is to have a very positive attitude in the workforce to have high engagement with your employees.
Excellent. Number four, always expect positive results, but always spend time inspecting current activity. Bill, I think this one's interesting. You'll have to explain this to us.
An old management axiom is you don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect. So many times I find a manager, for example, will expect certain things to happen and their expectations are not quite met. And the reason for that is they haven't really inspected what they should be inspecting to make sure the work gets done. So I think that a leader and an employee needs to have a positive attitude, but a leader in particular, because if that leader has a positive attitude and expects positive results, once again, it's contagious. And it's something that has to be consistent from the leader, is being very positive in what they're doing. They may be making some very tough decisions that affect a lot of lives, but at the same time, they need to be have a very positive result. So I spent some time with Jack Welch some time back. I wasn't alone with him. There were about 25 of us in the room. Jack Welch is one of the nicest person you can ever meet. He's gentle when you talk to him just on one-on-one in a social occasion. But when it comes down to business... Jack has got his nickname for a reason. He does what's necessary for the organization, but he's very positive about what he's doing, and he expects positive results as a result of what he's doing. And he inspects what's going on. Six Sigma approach, always measure.
The follow-through, I see that. Sometimes when I'm working with clients, that the follow-through is actually the part that they struggle with. So to your point, you bring in that positive attitude, you have those expectations, but it can't be just the feeling that they had in that moment. It has to be something that they actually continue to inspect and follow up and motivate and cheer people on as they're moving forward. Towards that goal.
It's absolutely necessary. It is absolutely necessary to carry out what's going on. I was at one point in time, as a consultant, I was brought into a company, and part of what my responsibility was is to we were going to downsize. The company is downsizing, so my job was to help downsize. And almost to the person, when we talked about the individual leaving, there were comments about, "I'm glad it's happening." I just didn't really like the work I was doing. Now, I know that that doesn't happen all the time, but if people are a bad fit for their job, if they don't fit well, they're miserable, the company's miserable, the customers are miserable, so let's do something about it and get people in there that know the job and can do the job well.
Right, right. And I think we live that. Sometimes we wonder if we're supposed to stay in that job and try to figure out how to be happy in it. But to your point, sometimes we're so much better off in the next role. So, number five, happiness and positive expectations promote quality returns.
It's kind of a common thread that's run through the rest of this. The positive expectations of what's going on. Now, we can expect great things all we want to, and sometimes, and we know that they don't work out. But what we do find as we're moving forward through these positive expectations, these goals that we have, and if we haven't, when we take the opportunity to measure where we're at, we can make corrections as we move forward. So having positive expectations is vital, I believe, to your family life, to your business life, and everything that you do. It's absolutely necessary.
And then number six, which is probably my favorite, quickly forgive myself and others for wrongs, real or perceived.
There, after Vietnam, for example, which was a long time ago, but there were some of our youngsters, young guys coming back, And they had a difficult time handling, just like it's happening through Desert Storm in Afghanistan today. There are things that go on that's difficult to forget, and there's a lot of guilt on the shoulders of the individuals coming back. And one of the things that is absolutely necessary is to get it behind you. That's in the past. We can't do anything about it. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive others that you may perceive have wronged you in some way. And get on with your life. Get it behind you and get on with your life.
And do you think your experience in the Navy actually helped you kind of build that into your daily guidelines for the rest of your life?
No question about it. It was so important to counsel these youngsters, that were coming back, and that no question they'd seen some really bad things going on in their life, and they needed to be helped back into the real world. I guess is a good way of putting it, and. For they needed to understand to talk it out. It happened. It was real. Now let's start thinking about getting rid of it. Forget about it. It doesn't mean anything anymore. I'm not going to say it always worked. It didn't, but at least it helped a few that I know of that were able to move on in their life. I believe that we would have fewer issues in the workplace, and we would have a lesser need for psychiatrists, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but if people would just learn just to forgive themselves, know that they're forgiven when they forgive themselves, and move on in their life, get a goal in their life or goals, and move towards them in a positive way.
That's great advice. The last one you have here is number 7. Never promise more than I can deliver.
Always true. Have you ever been promised something and it didn't quite meet your expectations, Christine?
Absolutely.
And you know, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You just feel bad about this wrong that happened. And so in order to prevent that, one of the things that I've made is one of my rule, 7 golden rules here is, look, if I think that I can do something for someone in an hour, I'm going to tell them it's probably going to be about an hour and a half to 2 hours. If I deliver before that 2 hours up, great. And everybody's going to be happy at that point. But be very careful of the words that you plant with people and raising their expectations, because if you fall short, you're going to lose a customer, a friend. It just will not work out for you.
Right. So with that, these are great, and we're just coming right up on the very end of this half-hour slot. If I could wave a wand and have you pick one of these that we could reinforce, what would be the one, or, you know, what? And in addition to that, what would be the one thing that you hope people take away?
I believe that your opening statement about Margaret Thatcher and my number one that I provided to you, thoughts, words, and actions are seeds that are planted. I believe that would be it. We have a golden rule out there, do unto others as, and everybody knows that.
Right, but do unto others, done unto you. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing of it is that we have to think about that individual and do unto them as they want done unto them. Think about that person that you're talking to and help deliver your message in a way that works with that individual. I want to be very careful about not criticizing someone, even though they may deserve, in your mind, criticism. it's not helping by helping someone see how to perform a task, for example, is one of the best ways in the world to help them become better at their job.
Excellent. Thank you so much for discussing this topic with our listeners today. And as always, it's a pleasure working with you. So if anybody would like to learn more about Profiles International, you can take a look at their website at www.profilesinternational.com and or look up Bill Foster on LinkedIn. And if you know a leader in motion that you believe should be sharing their story, please write me at christine@leaderinmotion.com or visit me at www.leaderinmotion.com. Thank you so much, Bill, for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Christine.
All right. Have a fantastic night. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.